We're continuing our study in the book of Judges. We're still in the first chapter, and last time we'd gotten through the 26th verse. This chapter is giving the account of how the various tribes fared as they attempted to continue to possess the land and to drive out the enemy nations that God did not want to be there. And as we have noted, we're finding that they were not very successful in conquering this land completely. They were allowing the foreign nations, the Canaanites and the Amorites, to continue to live here, and consequently this was going to be a very great detriment to them in the future. In verse 27, he talks about some of the activities of the people of Manasseh. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Tanash and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. So they allowed the Canaanites to stay. They were really derelict in their duty here. They did not do what God wanted. They did not carry out God's will in this respect. And he says in verse 28, "And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." As they gained strength, as they gained more power, rather than completing the job of driving them out, they just simply put them to tribute. That is, they made an agreement with them that they would pay them so much to get to continue to dwell there. And it seemed that they thought more of their money, more of their labors that they might get from them than they did of carrying out the will of God and having a true fear of this idolatry that dwelt among these people. Again in verse 29, "Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them." So even though it seemed that Ephraim was successful in taking Bethel, this city of Gezer, they had quite a different attitude toward and let the Canaanites dwell there. Verse 30, "Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries." So we see Zebulun had the same thing happen to them. And in verse 31, we have the account of Asher. "Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor of Akzib, nor of Helba, nor of Apik, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out." This is a very sad commentary, a very sad story regarding God's people here. Just absolutely failing to rid the land of the idolatrous nations, failing to do what God wanted, failing to totally have a land that was composed only of God's people. And it would be a very similar picture today of the church allowing idolatrous forms and practices to come in, allowing things of the world to become part of the church, things that God did not intend to be there at all, simply because we are too lazy, we are too ignorant to know the dangers of, to really get busy and drive them out. Verse 33, "Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Bethanath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Bethanath became tributaries unto them." So here again we find this tribe of Naphtali allowing them to become tributaries. They made an agreement with them to continue to dwell here for money and for labor. Verse 34, "And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley." So we see Dan probably fared worse than all. Not only did they not make them tributaries and not drive them out, but they were forced to dwell in the mountains and couldn't come to the valley. And it's quite likely that those who dwelt in the valley are the ones who had the chariots of iron. And so Dan was forced to abandon a lot of its land and just live in the cities in the mountain. And then we find that there's even further humiliation in verse 35. "But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres and Ajalon and in Shaalbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed so that they became tributaries." So some of the Amorites even lived in the mountains also. So Dan couldn't have all the mountain cities. But we do find that the hand of Joseph prevailed. Ephraim and Manasseh did war and prevail against these tribes so that they did become tributaries. They didn't drive them out like they should have, but they were tributaries to them. And this no doubt was of some assistance to Dan. And we find that Dan was so hard-pressed for territory that they later went up to Laish and extended their territory there. And verse 36 says, "And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim from the rock and upward," describing the territory there that Amorites actually did possess. Now, in the blessings given to the tribes, Dan was going to be like a serpent. And we see here that Dan was more subtle, like a serpent would be. And that's the way that he possessed land and existed. Whereas Judah was going to be like a lion. And we find that Judah was the one tribe that seemed to do the most towards conquering its territory and driving out the enemy, although Judah didn't completely carry this out. So the prophecies given back in the blessings in the latter part of Genesis are carried out here as we see these tribes inhabiting the land. In this chapter, we have an account given of all the tribes except Asher and the 2.5 tribes on the other side of Jordan. So that concludes the first chapter of the book of Judges.